Copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
Oswald Chambers, whom I have mentioned before, said this: "The saint who satisfies the heart of Jesus will make other saints strong and mature for God." Can you hear the complete reversal of what a narcissist does? The saint who satisfies the heart of Jesus will make other saints strong and mature, not for himself or his mission, but for God. So I want to use that quote and some other thoughts to give you some things to consider in assessing leaders and systems. The first is, we said a characteristic of narcissism is that there's a lack of insight. They can't see. They're blind. They can't assess their own weaknesses, and they don't really think they need to because they don't have any. So that means when they're hurting other people or they're being self-serving or even flagrantly disobedient to God, they do not have eyes to see. There's a verse in Hosea 7 that says this: "Gray hairs are sprinkled on him and he doesn't know it." The point is that something that's very obvious to others is not known to the narcissist. In the physical realm, we know that when we no longer experience suffering from an ongoing illness, death has set in. Have you ever sat by the bedside of somebody who's dying of cancer? Of course, medication helps this as well, but people, as they get closer to death, often feel less pain, and that's not a good sign. It means the body's shutting down. The scripture says, Samson knew not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. It's a very scary statement. He had a spiritual disease and he wasn't conscious of it. So you can have someone in leadership who gives an intellectual and verbal assent with feeling to the facts of God or to doctrine, but they do not see to it that their conduct corresponds with their assent. I quoted Chambers, I think it was in the roundtable discussion this week, I don't think it was here, in another place, which comes from his book on Job, Baffled to Fight Better. And he said, a man can know the plan of salvation and preach like an archangel and not know God. When you know he knows God is when his life is better than his preaching. So Hosea says that one of the things the Israelites did when they lost God and were unaware of their failures was to build really big buildings. Isn't that interesting? The further they got from God, the bigger they built. It's like a narcissist. The other thing they built was fortified cities. The further they got from God, the bigger and stronger their fortifications became. So you have a people who are naming the name of God. That's what they did. They were unaware of their sin and their weaknesses and their failings. They were not dealing with themselves honestly before God. And the outcome was bigger buildings and tighter lockdown. I believe that one of the reasons narcissists want bigger and stronger is because humans are meant for such things. We are meant for freedom. We're meant for wide spaces. We're meant for glory. And we're certainly meant for security in God. Now, none of that's really going to happen on this planet. We're going to get tastes of it, but that's about as good as it's going to get. But we all long for it, and those longings were instilled in us by God because it is those longings that drive us to Him. The narcissistic response is to believe that he can provide those things for himself. He crowns himself as the one who can bring glory and security, and people believe because they long for the same things, and they flock to him. And they help him place the crown on his own head. The longings are good. The longings are God-given. The passion for bigness is a longing for an eternal God. Those who are in a narcissistic system need to realize that part of what draws them is their own longings for bigness, for the eternal. We were meant for such things. We're meant for eternity and for a purpose way bigger than ourselves. When someone who's bright and articulate and charismatic in personality and seems to know a lot about God comes along, we are drawn in. And it's very easy for us to attach our longings to that person as the one. They know the way. We'll follow. We believe what they tell us. They're offering what we're hungry for. And we forget what the scripture says. Know you not? You are the temple of God. You're called into fellowship with Jesus. We need to be careful not to allow our good and right longings for the eternal and for glory to be used to steal us away from the only one who is glory. Isaiah says he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear, but he will judge according to righteousness. We judge leaders by what we see and hear. Somebody is smart, articulate, they command respect, they have a lot of knowledge, they have a reputation, they make promises, they show expertise. We fail to hold the character up next to the character of the crucified Christ. He does not judge by what his eyes see or what his ears, but according to righteousness. Well, who is righteousness? Christ. You want to know what kind of leader you've got? Put that character next to the crucified Christ. And of course, he's the one who set aside his glory. We believe the words and do not wait and test. We do not watch the deeds and we do not search the scriptures. We need to guard our God longings so they are protected from bonding to anyone but God himself. And that is the God who descends, who welcomes questions, who seeks the lost and the little. I'm going to close this part with a story that I think illustrates in a wonderful way what a man of much power looks like when he does not clutch glory, but seeks to bestow it on others. And this occurrence, which is a personal occurrence, carried within it an extraordinary lesson for me, and was one of those times in life, like the Cape Coast Castle fort that I spoke about the other night, that standing in it, even though I couldn't fully grasp it, I knew that I was being given a parable. So here's another parable. I have two sons, and the younger one worked in Abu Dhabi for about 2.5 years for a member of the royal household. And we were invited, my husband and I, to come to Abu Dhabi as the prince's guests to see our son, and because he wanted us to visit his country and see it. So we scheduled, and then all of a sudden we made our schedules around his, and then we got a call from our son, and we were being asked by His Highness to come a few days earlier because his schedule had been changed, and he wanted to be in the country to personally meet us when we first arrived. The call came through, and we knew it would completely turn our schedules upside down. I literally had to cancel a speaking engagement in order to do this. But when our son said His Highness would like you to come 3 days early, we said, of course. I mean, we didn't even have to hang up the phone and talk to each other about it. The prince had called. We would come. No thought required. It was going to impact others, but the response was sure. And therein was the first lesson. Without thought, gave earthly royalty immediate obedience. Now, I don't think in that instance we made the wrong choice. I'm quite sure that that's what we should have done. But it has been a cause for reflection since then for me about how quickly I bowed. And I have realized that it is in all of us to bow. And it is in all of us to bow wrongly. We are meant to bow. And I have thought, how often has my Lord, this prince is not my Lord, the King of heaven and earth called to me, and I have equivocated. I have delayed. Sometimes I've argued. And sometimes in my life I've flat out refused. I would do for an earthly prince what I would not do for my king. I would give him my automatic bow, and I would not give it to Jesus. So we went. Our way was paid, which meant I didn't fly with my knees up under my chin. Very fancy airline, very fancy seats, very fancy food. And we were met at the airport by our son, who picked us up to whisk us away to the prince's palace immediately. So just so you know, flying from Philadelphia to Abu Dhabi is a really long flight. And when you get off, you really don't feel like meeting a prince or anybody else, right? But that's what we were going to do. Now, I'm sure you know this, but I'm a female. I'm in an Arab country all of a sudden. And I knew I was going to be walking into a room full of Arab men. So I'm sitting with my son in the car, and I said, okay, give me the protocol, jet lag brain. Just very carefully walk me through what to do and not to do. I do not want to offend this man. So he says, wait to be greeted. Do not speak first. The prince will stay seated. Do not offer your hand. Do not sit until you're told to. And sit where you're told to. Huh. To my son's knowledge, and he was there for 2.5 years, and we were going into the majlis, which is where the prince receives people with petitions and things like that, the throne room. But to my son's knowledge, there had never been a female in that room before. And he spent almost every evening there with the prince, so he knew. So we arrived, we were escorted into the palace, and we were taken to the meeting place. And we were standing in the doorway, and I looked in, and there were probably about 15 Arab men in there in full regalia. And my husband and I were ushered in over the threshold, and no sooner had we crossed the threshold than this prince stood up. He wasn't supposed to do that. He walked over to us. He wasn't supposed to do that. Like this. And he took my hand first. He's not supposed to touch me. And he greeted me very warmly. And he said, call me by his first name. And then he ushered us over, and he sat at the head, and he patted the seat on his right hand and told me to sit down. The funny thing is, it was just stunning. After he walked over and shook my hand, I looked up, and 15 Arab men in full regalia were behind him like this. Needless to say, we were greatly honored and graciously welcomed. But that is a picture. It's a small one. It's an earthly one. But it is a true one of the Lord of heaven and earth seated on the throne, who will and does even now welcome us into the throne room with grace and glory. The Arab prince did it because he loves my son and because he is a gracious man. And rather than using his weight to keep me in my place, which he had every right to do, he broke through his titles and his fortifications and entered my space. The Lord of heaven and earth does the same for us at great cost to himself. His own life, obviously, by his own blood. And by that, I enter and stand received in his throne room with all grace. It's very common doctrine for us, isn't it? But perhaps too common. And we have become so familiar with it that we're not awed by it anymore. I was awed by this earthly prince who crossed over position, tradition, culture, gender, and training to greet me with his hand. That experience has taught me and reminded me of the awe due to my true Lord, who at a cost beyond measure welcomes me and crosses over the barriers of highest position, including those of sin and death, to welcome me to the right hand of the Father. But it has also proven to be a lesson of exposure for me about those who elevate themselves, fortify themselves behind power and success, and those who require us to enter their throne room on their terms, who are then, in fact, nothing like our Lord, no matter how much they say they serve him. So it is my prayer that we will recognize false leaders when we see them, that we will be people who bow, but that we will only bow to the Lord of glory. And that like the 15 men, we will line up behind our Lord to greet others with exactly the same grace he did, crossing every barrier known to humankind. Those who lead are to look like their Lord. Those 15 Arab men looked like their Lord. That prince could, by all rights, have required me to give him glory, and I was quite prepared to do so. But instead, he gave it to me. Any Christian leader who requires us to give him or her glory, or who requires us to give him or her money, or constant praise, or continual agreement, has failed to follow the example and calling of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is, in fact, my friends, no Christian leader at all. I don't care what his vocabulary says. That's my prayer, that we will not be deceived, and that we will remember the Arab prince, for he points the way to what a leader who serves Christ alone really looks like. Here's what I would like you to do. We have talked about a lot of sad things, some of us together and some of us individually. And I'm very aware that many of you come from countries and places of great suffering and generations of trauma. And I want you to do something for me, and I'm going to read a few scriptures. I want you to take that piece of paper and lament. And I'm going to give you each an assignment of what you are to lament about. So I'm not just letting you do whatever you want, which that's another way to lament and is often very helpful. But I want you to either use words or pictures. So some of you are word people, and some of you are visual, and some of you are both, and I don't really care what you put on the paper. But some of you may just list words that come to mind as part of your lament, and some of you may want to draw a picture that expresses what you're feeling. I would like group number one to express your lament about your countries, which includes now and back, what your parents and grandparents lived through, whatever. It could be lamenting what has been done to the people. It could be lamenting what has been done by the people or the leaders, whatever. So group number one is a lament for nations. Group number two is a lament for the church, who is not who she ought to be in many ways. Group number three is a lament for violence against women, which is a global epidemic. Group number four is a lament for traumatized children. Group number five is a lament for men who are traumatized. Some have abandoned their families. Some have suffered in combat. Whatever comes to mind. There are many, many ways that men are suffering in this world. Some can't support their families. Some are refugees and have nothing, lost their families and become refugees. And group number six, is a lament for how, when you look through history or in your own country or in your own church, I don't care, your family, a lament about the abuse of power. Just go over there and just, I'm going to just read a few verses as you go and be no talk. And whoever has something to put on the paper first, you start. And when you're done, just come and sit. And when we're all done, I would like you, the leader, to bring the paper just to say something about what's on the paper with the group. You know, and you may need help from the others in the group. And then I'm going to pray for you, and then we'll be done. Okay. Yes, lament is what you weep or grieve over. Lament is what you have questions for God about. It is complaint. It is suffering and pain. It's all the things that in a lot of churches nobody wants to hear about. And these verses that I'm going to read will give you a sense of that. Okay? Our eyes failed, watching vainly for help. You have wrapped yourself with a cloud, so no prayer can pass through, and you have made us scum and garbage among the people. I loathe my life. I will give free utterance to my complaint and speak in the bitterness of my soul. And to God, does it seem good to you to oppress us, to despise the work of your hands, and favor the wicked? All our enemies open their mouths against us. Panic and pitfall have come upon us. Our eyes flow with rivers of tears. I have been hunted like a bird by those who are my enemies without cause. They flung me alive in the pit, and I said, I am lost. Therefore, and this is what the lament is, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit, and I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. You are doing that on behalf of other people in these laments. You are doing it for yourself as well.